Well, good morning, everyone. It's an absolute joy to be able to share with you this morning and to think how many homes are in praise and worship of Jesus. Thank God when we gather together in a building, but it's an even greater joy as well to know that many homes are simply loving Jesus, giving him praise and worship, and may that increase in our communities even more as the days go forward. For those of you who don't know me, I haven't got time to share God's word and give a full kind of background as to who I am. I'll probably summarize it by saying I'm a victim of Daryl's practical jokes over the years. I've lost count how many times he has played pranks on me. One of the first ones, we were about to leave worship, just as he was doing very nicely with Claire moments ago. Just about to leave worship, and I picked up my guitar, strummed it, and it was completely out of tune. And I mean completely out of tune. So this is a prime opportunity to get him back, but I read Romans 12 this morning. Paul's quoting in verse 19, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." So Daryl, I'll let you off the hook and you can rest easy, you can breathe, you're safe. You may have gathered, my name's Andrew. I have a God-given wife, Amy, two amazing daughters, Alice and Emily. And if you want to know more, I love Jesus. My life's been transformed by him. And to live life hoping, aiming to be more pleasing to him and see as many people come to Christ and put their trust in him, that will make me joyful. So that's what I'm living for. Thank God for that. Today, I want to share from Habakkuk. Your speakers aren't broken. I did say Habakkuk, and say a small book towards the end of the Old Testament, written around 600 BC. At the time of writing, when Habakkuk's writing these words, there'd been around 20 years of almost silence since the last word from the Lord with Zephaniah. And Habakkuk comes in, there's little sort of known about him. But there's many famous verses. As you go on as a Christian, you'll often hear different verses through this book quoted and referred to. So little's known about him apart from some of those things. His name means embrace, but it's perhaps not what you would think of initially when you hear the word embrace. It was really a wrestling term. He was a clinger. He was a struggler. Habakkuk, he was a man who struggled with God. And when you jump into the book, you find that often prophets are directing their words and their writing towards men, towards nations. But when you begin this book, you find that Habakkuk is directing his thoughts and his aims at God himself, not towards men, not towards nations, but at God. Not only that, if that wasn't different enough, it's a complaint. Habakkuk begins this book by complaining at God. Some of the first words you'll read in chapter one is you'll find words like violence, sin, trouble, destruction. There's phrases like there's arguments and fighting. The law is paralyzed. There's no justice. And these are words that are being directed at God. And Habakkuk is almost like, well, Lord, why aren't you doing something? And remember that it had been 20 years where the word of the Lord had almost been withheld, and the nation was in a mess again. Israel and Judah under constant threat of invasion. And here we have Habakkuk directing his view at God. What's going to happen? What's God going to do about the mess that we're in? I think Habakkuk had become so wrapped up in what he saw in mankind, in his generation, in the local landscape, what was going on, that his view of God had become a little bit marred. In verse 13 of Habakkuk's second complaint, he says, "Lord, your eyes are too pure to look upon evil." That's totally wrong, because God sees all, God knows all. He sees the righteous, he also sees the wicked. So whatever we're going through at the moment, and the whole world is, I saw one of the headlines this week that said around 4.5 billion people in the world today are in a similar lockdown. Now, when we think of Christians all around the world, we need to understand this. Whatever our circumstances may be, whatever the world looked like at the moment, God is still at work even when we don't see it. God is in charge. He knows what's going on. And with Habakkuk, he can handle a complaint. With God, he can handle a complaint which Habakkuk was bringing before him. And God can handle a complaint when it's from a life that wants answers and truth and meaning. You know, in Britain, we're a nation that knows a complaint when it sees one. You know, I feel it in my blood at times when something goes wrong. I'll think I'll raise a complaint about that. I'll send a letter or send an email. I'll make a phone call. If you've noticed in the news, if you're minimizing how much news intake you're taking in, I suggest that's a wise choice, because there's a shift I've noticed in the media where it's gone from some of it being concerned to there being more complaints. What about this? What about that? The reason we complain often is because we want to see change. We might want to bring about some change or justice, or it might be to get simply a refund. Now, Habakkuk took his complaint directly to God. He didn't direct it initially at people. He goes straight to the CEO of heaven. He goes straight to God and says, God, what's happening? I believe in you. I'm following you. Know the word of the Lord. But God, when is there going to be change? Now, he knew that, but he wondered if God was willing to respond to his complaints. Like I said, remember, no word from the Lord in 20 years. In verse 5 of chapter 1, the Lord responds to Habakkuk's first complaint. And the Lord says to him, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. We have to continue to place our trust in God at all times. And I know that the majority, if not all of you, want to do that who are watching that today, that we put our trust in him. Because sometimes that will be shaken by what we see. Change doesn't always come in the form that we would choose it. It's funny how I remember days who I was longing to have more days at home. And now that I have more days at home, I'm wishing for more days out. It's kind of ironic how change can happen. We can reasonably ask, you know, what good can come out of what we're going through? Well, I'd like to take verse 5 as a response that we would believe that God is doing a work in our days. In fact, God is most certainly at work. You know, last week we celebrated that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The wonderful news of what we celebrate is that living hope can become our prayer, that life can come out of death. And that fills our headlines constantly at the moment. And we pray that life will come out of the midst of what's going on. As we jump into chapter 2, the Lord responds to Habakkuk's second complaint. He tells him to write the vision down. That's often a well-known scripture about writing the vision down, make it easy and accessible for people to run with and let people know that God is about to work again. He's going to do something. You may not expect the way that it will come, but God is at work. Even if it seems slow, wait. It will surely come. Sounds a bit like the government's advice at the moment, doesn't it? We've come too far in this pandemic to go and undo the good work that's going on by people distancing themselves from others to help the NHS. We need to know today that God is trustworthy, that we mustn't lose heart with whatever's going on, however you feel emotionally, mentally, even spiritually in what's going on. Don't lose heart. God is at work. Verse 4 of chapter 2, it's another famous verse throughout church history. Paul quotes it in Romans, Galatians. It's written in Hebrews. Martin Luther and the Reformation used this verse, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. Maybe a better translation would be that the just, the righteous shall live by faithfulness. See, Christianity is not a one-off prayer. God calls us to faithfulness day in and day out. It's faithful when times are good and faithful when times are tough. Matthew 25, when Jesus is speaking, he says, good and faithful servant. See, God is calling us to faithfulness, not just acts of faith, not just prayers of faith, and they're good in themselves, but God calls us to be faithful, even when we don't feel it, that we stay faithful because God is good. Another famous verse in chapter 2 is verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, that's my prayer at this time, that whatever's going on, that what seems so harmful to family life, community life, the landscape of nations and the world at the moment, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That needs to be our prayer. You know, so however many homes are watching this today, however many people believe in Jesus Christ and you're watching this, make that your prayer. Jesus, at this time, may the glory of the Lord be seen in new ways. Let your glory cover the whole earth. That's my prayer. So we're going to read verse 17 to 19 of chapter 3. Chapter 3 picks up. There's some change in Habakkuk's life. It goes from perhaps a complainer. God deals with some of that in his life, and the focus changes in these last three verses of chapter 3. So chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. And it closes to the choir master with stringed instruments. This was prophecy written and set to music. Initially, when you read verse 17, it's like you might think Habakkuk is on one again, that he's raising his complaints again because he's singing. Can you imagine singing words like there's no blossom, there's no sign of spring, there's no grapes, there's no wine, there's no olive oil. It seems like there's the vegetables and fruits are all gone. There's no wool, there's no lamb, there's no milk, there's no beef. It sounds a little bit like Habakkuk's just been to the supermarket recently. But the verses don't stop in verse 17. Otherwise, we might think, wow, what an ending, what a conclusion. It lifts up in these final two verses. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, verse 18 says, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. We might bring that into our present day scenario and we might think, well, the world is seemingly in a mess. Life is upside down. Yet we can rejoice in the Lord. Things don't seem to be getting better, yet we can take joy in God who is our salvation. Life seems really uncertain at the moment, yet I know God won't forsake me. Financially, there's some struggles, but yet I know that God is my provider. Physically, I may not feel great at the moment. I may have some worry, yet God is my healer. There's so many things that will transform our lives when we get a yet. Skipping back a moment, I've lost count of how many times I've heard, read, prayed, quoted these final verses in chapter 3. But there was a little phrase that jumped out off the page as if it was the first time I had ever seen it. And it was in verse 17. It says, though the flock be cut off from the fold. Though the flock be cut off from the fold. Throughout scripture, sheep and shepherds were and are regular terms that you find through scripture. Famous verses that you might be familiar with, certainly Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. John 10, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. We, as the people of God, are referred to as the sheep, and the Lord is our shepherd. The church can be referred to, and that means the people of God, not the buildings. The church can be referred to as the flock, and God is our shepherd. So when I read this verse during these times that we're going through, it had a whole new meaning. Though the flock be cut off from the fold. I wonder if you've had any days recently where you felt a little bit cut off from the fold, where you feel like, well, you know, there's not many, maybe not any sheep around, but I'm still a sheep. If you've just tuned in, everything's okay. You might need to skip back a little bit and get the context as to what's going on. But there might not be many Christians around me. I might be the only Christian in my home at this present time, yet others may come. Even though I may feel sometimes a little bit cut off from the fold, we long for the days when we can gather together in churches, in church buildings and be one. But at the present time, thank God, we are coming together in new ways. So there may not be many or any Christians around me at the moment, yet I am a Christian. God has saved me and I will rejoice in him. So even if we feel cut off from others, we can rejoice in the Lord. Now, that's really what I want to encourage you today. I'm not getting deep in theology, as you can probably tell, but I hope this will lift your spirit for anyone who may be feeling, you know, some days differently to others, where you just may feel your thoughts or your emotions spiritually. Sometimes you might feel higher than others, and that can be present and real at any point in life, but especially now when there can be struggles going on, that we have a yet I will rejoice. Habakkuk had his perspective changed. The word of the Lord had changed him. He begins by complaining, but God dealt with some things in his life because he was open and teachable to the presence of God. And what I want to say is this, is that when you really go before God in prayer and you're open and you're teachable, that his word will transform you before it transforms your situation. Habakkuk's situation didn't change. In fact, the landscape as of the nation, invasions continued to come. So things really in the landscape of what was going on didn't get better for the nation initially, but Habakkuk changed. His situation didn't change, but he did. He said, though, even though these things are going on, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Something really empowering when you get a yet in your life. You know, for anyone who's thinking, I'll go on to Amazon and I'll get one. You know, it's not on Amazon. It's spiritual. It's not online. Not yet, anyway. Did you see what I did there? Not yet, anyway. Bad joke. We can't do this. We can't do that. Yet, I will rejoice. You know, Daryl preached last week on a living hope, a lively hope. Habakkuk was restored with a lively hope, and that hope gave birth to joy. A definition of joy for Daryl's ears only, meaning to dance or to leap for joy, spinning around. You know, Kylie Minogue would like that one. If you don't understand the reference, then you can Google it later. It's too much to contain. I'm spinning around for joy. You know, dancing and joy is something that, if it puts to bed any idea that actually joy can be just so deep down that it never appears anywhere else in your life. It's just a deep joy. No, it's this joy, I will take joy. I think that phrase, that the language that's used there, I will take joy. Sometimes we have to get active in our spiritual life and not just wait for God to come knocking. Sometimes we have to go to God and say, I will take joy because it's already ours to be possessed. I pray that today, wherever you're at, you will know the Holy Spirit springing up joy within you, that you'll overflow in the life that he's given, that you will take joy in the God of your salvation. You know, if joy just sounds like another word in your ear, take that language. I will take joy. That language gives us the impression that we have to do something. So what do we need to do? We need to pray. God, you are the joy of my salvation. You are my hope. You are my strength. You are all that I need. You have saved me. You've shown me your mercy and your love. We sing. We rejoice. We give thanks. we get a yet, and then we see what happens. Lastly, and I'll close with this, verse 19, we will declare with Habakkuk, God the Lord is my strength. That we would declare with Habakkuk today, God the Lord is my strength. Your strength is the Lord being present in your everyday life. So for those who are key workers in the NHS, those who are continuing to work, and you know, you have days that you may be going through different stress and worry and different things, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. And I also want to pray for you that God will continue to be your strength. For those who don't know Jesus and they're on the front line, we lift them up in prayer and we give thanks to God for them. And that is true all around the world, that we will lift up others in prayer. You know, when you're listening from your home today, lift up your neighborhood in prayer and let God be your strength in your home. Whatever you have to do in your day-to-day life, declare that God is your strength. And it says, you know, he makes my feet like the deer's. That doesn't sound like he was heavy footed. Doesn't sound like Habakkuk was dragging his feet around. No, his feet were light. He had joy. God lifting his spirit. And I pray that you will know that in your own life today. All that's left for me to do is say farewell. God bless you today. I'm now going to do a closing wave. And I hope that gives the reference to make me disappear. God bless you all.